we have seen clashes since the morning of 15 December between the Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces in the outskirts of Wad Medani. There has been shooting and airstrikes reported and ongoing since that same day. The situation remains tense and unpredictable, and as I mentioned, clashes are still ongoing. Now, this, as your listeners might know, is a city where many people from Khartoum fled when the war broke out in April 2023. So they are hosting displaced people already. And the state itself, Al Jazeera State, which Wad Madani lies in, is the breadbasket of Sudan. So the impact, of course, on civilians could potentially be disastrous, both for the immediate displacement concerns, but also for further concerns because of the state's recognition as the breadbasket of the country. Now, so far, about 20,000 people have been displaced. There were reports of panic in the city of Wad Madani, and people were seen leaving both by vehicle but also on foot, trying to find safety elsewhere.
And yes, you say around 20,000 people have been displaced, but many of those were already displaced from Khartoum, and now they're being displaced again. Given the increased displacement and the closure of shops, markets in Wad Madani, how is the provision of essential services, including food, healthcare, shelter, being addressed for the affected population?
So when it comes to the humanitarian operations for now, they have been suspended. So we're hoping to be able to resume that as soon as the security situation allows. So this is, of course, a very difficult time for everyone who is there.
Yes. And with the reduction of the humanitarian footprint in Wad Madani, like you just mentioned, how are organizations positioning themselves in neighboring states to address the increased humanitarian needs once the situation permits?
Humanitarian organizations have positioned themselves in neighboring states just to be able to move as soon as possible once the security situation allows. So they are doing, for now, remote planning from there.
And this is, as we know, and our listeners, since the conflict broke out, violence has been concentrated in the capital, Khartoum, and Darfur, and a little bit of Kordofan. Now this is a new front in central Sudan. How does that complicate the huge humanitarian disaster in Sudan that's been going on for 8 months, you know, for aid organizations?
So yes, of course, 25 million people now need humanitarian assistance in Sudan, and 6.7 million people have been displaced, and many for the second or the third time. So this is indeed a huge humanitarian disaster. And as you mentioned, especially in Khartoum, in Kordofan, in Darfur. So it's obviously concerning that there are new fronts opening, which could lead to even more displacement and an increase in already needs of a magnitude and scale which are never seen before in Sudan.
Finally, tell me something about the resources at your disposal and issues with access and maybe other challenges that might restrict you in this huge humanitarian operation.
So we are facing three major challenges in Sudan. That's access, funding, and attention. On access, it's issues related, of course, to the insecurity and the fighting itself, and being able to reach people who are in these hard-to-reach areas, which are especially in these areas where the fighting is going on in Khartoum, Darfur, and the Kordofans. But it's also due to sort of bureaucratic impediments of getting clearances and visas and these types of things. So those things are restricting our access. We also have a funding challenge because less than 40% of the humanitarian response plan has been funded. And in order for us to do more, we also need more resources. And lastly, we have a challenge of attention, because there are many crises going on across the world, but it's important that the international community keeps Sudan front and center, because the magnitude and the potential regional impacts of what is happening in Sudan could have even graver consequences than what we're seeing today.
Sophie Carlson, thank you very much for your time and for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me.